All right, going to be in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 this morning. Give you a second to get there in your Bible. Acts chapter 20. And the Bible says on verse 7, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep, and fell down from the third loft, and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. And when he therefore was come up again, and he had broken bread and had eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. I pray you speak to our hearts. Lord, be attentive. Lord, that I pray we're aware of your presence here. And Lord, you speak to each heart that's here, those that are saved and lost. I pray for that one that may be here lost today, see their need of calling on your name. Lord, I pray for us that are saved, that we be encouraged through your word. Lord, help us. Lord, in our life here as we walk on this earth as Christians, be all we should be and can be. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the title of the message today is called The Window Seat. The Window Seat. When I was, it's probably still this way, and I remember, I know a lot of you, it was when we were younger, maybe even now. We get ready to go somewhere in the car or you're riding, everybody hollers out, shotgun. You know what that means, right? When you holler out shotgun, that means that you have dibs on getting in the passenger seat front by the window. That's the window seat, you know. And we like to be by the window seat. We can roll the window down. We can see out on the right. We want to be in the front seat. We can see out the front. So we yell shotgun so we can get the window seat. Now, I don't do that much flying. And the times I had to fly in a plane, I always wanted to sit by the window. You know, you can look out and you can see what's going on. I always figured, too, if we were going to crash into anything, I want to see what we're going to hit before we get there, right? But you know, we all like to have the window seat. And, you know, in this text that we looked at this morning, we see the disciples had come together. There's a lot going on in this text, really, more so than you may first appear. But we see that it was the first day of the week, which is Sunday. The disciples coming together, it was probably in the evening because at that time Sunday wasn't like it is for us today. It wasn't a day off. It was probably just another work day for them. So they probably worked all day. They come together. They broke bread, so they ate. We know they did that. And then Paul preached. And the Bible says there that he preached until midnight. Boy, try preaching doing that in church today. If I'm still preaching here at midnight, I'll probably be the only one here. Try doing that. But we see there in the text that this man named Eutychus, a young man, that he fell asleep. And it says that he fell out of the window. I think he fell to the outside instead of the inside. And that the fall, it caused him to die. They were in the upper room, it said. A lot of times those were on top of the houses. I have been overseas myself, and the way the houses are built, a lot of houses had an upper room. And then a lot of them on top of the upper room had an outside, like a little patio type thing up on the very top, because it'd get hot and you'd get outside there. And so it'd be a long, long fall. And so we see that, and after he died, that Paul, by the power of God, raised him back to life, a resurrection. That's a revival if there ever was. At the end of a preaching service, that was a real life revival right there. Here was a guy that was brought back to life. Amen. I didn't even think about that too much. But that would be a good revival message for us. And so there's a lot of things that are going on there. And a lot of times we can only speculate about certain things. I'm going to speculate just a little bit today with it. You know, I don't want to be critical of Eutychus falling asleep during the preaching service, because I don't know what his circumstances were and circumstances are. But, you know, I want to take a look at this in a spiritual sense. I want to spiritualize it a little bit, looking at the window seat. To see some points of view and how it applies to a lot of us in churches today. We had our Sunday school hour. It's amazing how God works things out a lot of times. Many times I'll do my I'll have this message together before I know exactly how the Sunday school lesson is going to go. And how, you know, we talked a lot about this in Sunday school, about one of the things today that what Satan does to the Christians today is how he just gets us into a complacent place. You know, where we've gotten saved, but we're not progressing any farther in our walk with the Lord. You know, we're just in neutral. We're just sitting there. We're saved, everything. We're not doing any more for the Lord. We're not doing any less for the Lord, which a lot of times is not doing anything for the Lord. But we're not going anywhere with things. And so that kind of ties in with what I'm thinking. When Danielle said she wanted to come up and say something to the church about Bible school, I didn't know what she was going to say about Bible school. As she was talking about it, I thought, boy, how appropriate, how what she had to say fits very well with what I want to say today in the message, and I feel like what God would have us to hear. And so, you know, I want to look at some things. You know, number one, and the biggest point of the whole thing was why, and we're only speculating as to why that Eutychus, this one guy, was in the window seat. Now, I'd like to speculate, and I think it probably was so, and I'd like to think it was so, that it was a very crowded place. I think a lot of people came to hear the Apostle Paul preach. He was about to take a trip. He was going to be gone for a lengthy amount of time. So I believe that the Apostle Paul, a pretty big crowd came, and probably Eutychus got there like a good Baptist. He probably got there late. So when he got there, there wasn't any seats up in the front row, which there are here, by the way. And so I think that as he got there, was crowded. He got up there. Maybe he got in the window. It did tell us that there were a lot of lamps lit. They didn't tell us that for no reason at all. But in those days, when you lit a lot of lamps, the kind of lamps they used, it produced a lot of heat. You're already in the upper chamber. And so perhaps it was hot. I'm pretty sure it was hot. And that he probably went to the window seat. Got in the window because, you know, it was a cooler place to be. And so a lot of speculation on that. But I want to look at some other things as to why it might be. And like I say, it's speculation, but I think we can apply it to the state of the church or the state of Christians today. Number one, what we can look at, it might have been another reason why he was there, why he was in the window seat, is number one is the window seat can be a disinterested seat. A disinterested seat. And, you know, I said before different reasons why. Another possibility why that he might have been in the window seat, it might have just been that as the preaching continued on for a certain amount of time, that he became disinterested in what was going on inside and gravitated towards the window to kind of look out to see what was going on outside. So the difference between inside and outside. You know, the Word of God no longer became or was interesting to him. And the things that were outside the church were more interesting and exciting than the things inside the church. As I said a moment ago in our Sunday school class, in our adult class here, we talked about something similar to that, that what Satan does to us is, you know, it's a gradual, when we drift away from God, when we drift away from the Word of God, very seldom do Christians just all of a sudden cut it off with God. What Christians do is they gradually drift a little farther and a little farther from the things of God. The things that they used to do, and I had cited a lot of examples of people that I knew of and that knew even in my own ministry and knew of from previous ministries that used to be so active in the Word of God or in the things of God. I mean people that drove church buses. I'm talking about people that was at Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They taught. If there was Bible school, they were the first ones to sign up on the Bible sheet. I knew people like this. I know them. I could give you names, and I'm not trying to pick on those people. I'm just saying I could preach this in any church in America or in the world today. But there's people that were so active in the Word of God, in the things of God. And today they're not even in church. Not even in church. And I was sharing this with our Sunday school class. I said, it scares me to death. It scares me. We were looking at, in the Old Testament at the kings, and like Solomon, it started off well and then got away from God. We were looking at Asa, who started off well and at the end put his faith in man. I mean, we talked about those. So there's so many people, and it didn't happen all of a sudden. They just kind of gradually started gravitating towards the window seat and started kind of looking at things outside the church a little more than they did what was going on in the church. And that's a scary thing when you start drifting towards the window seat, because it's a disinterested seat. And the Bible says that Paul preached till midnight. Can you imagine today that if somebody started preaching at a Sunday evening service at 7 o'clock and the preacher kept going till midnight, what kind of a flack that he would have or have to listen to? Somebody glaring at him as they go out the door? Somebody calling him, or the deacons would come together and say, and I know of a case right here in town, a church close by, where the guy preached a little bit past 12 o'clock, like 5 or 10 after, and the deacons got said, don't you ever do that again. Don't you ever do that again. I'm going to tell you what, boy, next Sunday I'd preach till 1 o'clock next Sunday. Huh? If God led now, if God led. You know, listen, man, can you imagine that? What would happen? But listen, but people, you know, we got this time slot that we put God in. And God fits in the time slot, Pastor, between 11 o'clock and 12:01. And don't you get him outside of that time slot. Amen. Huh? See, that's we've categorized it. I've got this allotted time for God. And God don't get none of that time that's past that allotted time. We've got to fit him in there. And some of us even got God allotted. We got an allotted time at 7 o'clock on Sunday night. Just don't go too far past 8. Huh? And we got an allotted time at Sunday school and Wednesday night, and we got this allotted time for God. He's slotted in. Man, in the early church, they didn't have a time period. What time, you know, we got started, what time did you end? When we got done. And I'm going to tell you, when I started preaching, I don't know how it all works out, but I just got my notes together and said, I'm going to preach whatever it is, and wherever it falls, it falls. I mean, that's not a lot. Well, look, it's going to be like 3 minutes over, man. What are we going to do about that? I don't go home and practice these things in time. I'm sure you got a stopwatch in there. Let me preach it, honey. See how long. Let me see how long this is going to take. Listen, he preached till midnight. And we can sit, you know, and watch a ball game for 3 or 4 hours. I was watching a baseball game the other day and went into extra innings, 15 innings. 4 hours and 50 minutes. Trust me, I was ready for it to be over. Anybody just get a run. I didn't care if the other team got one, just somebody get one, you know. But we can sit and watch ball games 3 or 4 hours. We can swelter at a car race for 3 hours. We can go to the beach and lay out there all day long. It don't bother us a bit. We can sit down and watch a movie for 2.5 hours and hardly ever get out of our seat. It don't bother us. But if we preach a little bit too long, Lord, help us. Amen. Huh? Can't give God that much time. Here it was till midnight. And there's a reason that the church is not the spiritual influence or the powerful church that it was in the early church. There's a reason for it. Brother, I'm going to tell you what it is. It's because God's people aren't spiritual as they could be. Amen. Huh? Because we start looking out the window at what's going on in the world instead of looking inside the church and see what's going on in God's business and in God's kingdom. Amen. You know, a lot of times there's folks that come, everybody's at a different spiritual place. I understand that. But there's some folks that I never get the feeling that they're in. You know? Because they're always in the window seat to a certain degree, kind of half in and half out. You know, you never know for sure where they sit with things. And see, the window seat, you know, it's a place where you can be inside but still see what's going on outside. And there's a lot of people in that seat in churches today. A disinterested seat. Another thing we know about the window seat, it's an uncomfortable seat. You know, when you look at a window, it's not really a seat at all. I mean, we get so crowded. I hope one day we get so crowded that the ushers say, look, all we got left for you is we're going to open this window right here and you can kind of sit there on the windowsill. I hope it gets to that point right there. But it's not really a seat. You know, we have a term that we use fence straddlers. Now, have you ever sat up on it? You know, you can get on a fence if you're kind of facing one way, it isn't too bad. If you've got your feet going this way and you're up on the rail, or if you're facing the other way. But if you kind of get in the middle, now that's not a comfortable deal right there. Fence straddle, that's where we get that term from. With a fence straddler, see, you're not on one side or the other. And when you're not on one side or the other, I'm going to tell you, that's an uncomfortable place to be. And I'm going to tell you about, if you are a Christian, if you are a true, saved, born-again Christian, the most uncomfortable place in the world that you'll ever be is straddling the fence where you're halfway in the world and halfway in the church. Just halfway, you're not happy. You're not happy. And nobody around you is happy. Huh? God's not happy. Because you're just not, you know, that lukewarm Christian he talks about in Revelation that he said he'd spew out. He said, I'd rather have you be hot or cold than be lukewarm. You know, Jesus had a lot to say about hypocrisy in the Bible. And we're doing a Wednesday night Bible study. We're looking at that a little bit. And hypocrisy or hypocrite means wearing a mask or playing an actor. Yeah, I used to think, man, you know, wouldn't that be a great job to have when you're a kid? I'd like to be on TV, be an actor. Man, you just go in there and do your scene and they shoot it for a little while, you know, and then you go home and how hard can it be? But, you know, really, to be, you see these good actors, these actors that play parts and do things. Acting is work. Man, I mean, if you're going to be if you're going to play a part, you know, it might be one, somebody has a foreign accent. You've got to talk like if somebody from up in New York came down here to play somebody from Buchanan, that'd be a foreign accent. They would have to they would have to learn how to say y'all, right, Bill? They'd have to learn how to say y'all. And so, but you know, it's they work at it. Sometimes they spend, you know, months and months and months getting ready to play this one part. If it requires riding a horse and you don't know how to ride a horse, they have to work at trying to learn how to ride a horse. If they're going to play a musician, sometimes they might have to play a little bit or at least know how to look like they're going to play an instrument. I mean, you have to work at what you're doing. Play acting is exhausting work. It takes effort, training, and time, and learn how to be the character, the walk, the look, the mannerisms. And let me tell you something, that's why coming to church can be an exhausting experience for a lot of folks. Because you've spent an hour of your life pretending to be someone you're not. That's why when you go home, you got to take a nap. You're pretending someone you're not. I read a story kind of illustrated that. It was a little boy that he was out in the yard and he saw a rat. And he ran over there and he jumped on the rat and he stomped on it and he killed it. And he got the rat up and he went into the house. He was going to take it in there and show his mama. Had it by the tail and he went in there and he didn't realize that the preacher had come by. And he went in there and he said, look, Mom, look, I found this rat. He said, I jumped on it, I stomped on it, and about that time he saw the preacher was over there and he said, and the Lord called him home. Huh? That's how it goes a lot of times. But listen, this is the point. Having to change your behavior depending on the people you are with is work. Huh? Having to change your behavior depending on the people that you're with at the time, that's work. Instead of just, see, a Christian is not something that you do. It's something that you are. You know, it's not something that you be, it's what you are. You know, if you are. You know, I was reading a list of the other day. I wrote them down. Oxymorons. You know what an oxymoron is? It's kind of a contradictory statement or two words usually. Act naturally. That's an oxymoron. If it's natural, it's not an act. Right? If it's natural, it's not an act. Listen, man, act a Christian. No, be a Christian. Or you are a Christian. And then it's not work. And then I thought about this. Why bother? Why bother to come to the church and sit in the window seat? Really? I mean, if you're not interested, good simple question, right? If you're not interested, why even bother at all? I know next Sunday we're going to have like 10 people. Why bother to come if you're not interested? See, why? And like I said, I'm just using Eutychus. I don't know what the deal is. It probably wasn't nothing more than he was just tired. I'm not picking on him. But I'm saying if we're using this illustration in a spiritual sense, why bother to come to the service if you're not interested in the things of God? Why get halfway in? Let me ask you this way. Why get halfway in and not all the way in? The person that's on the fence, the uncomfortable position of the fence straddler, why not just get on one side or the other? Why straddle the fence? Good question. Why just come on Sunday morning and never to any other service or ever get involved in anything else of the church? This is an honest question. Why? I'll tell you why. I got the answer. Because people want the blessing of God without the commitment.
Amen.
Yeah, that's a good amen spot. See, if it's food, fun, and free, folks are first in line. If it's dedication, consecration, and commitment, they're staring out the window. It's an uncomfortable seat. The third thing is, it's a dangerous seat. You know, like Eutychus, people get in the window seat and they think that they won't fall. Halfway in, halfway out. There's no doubt in my mind that when Eutychus got in the window seat, he didn't say, well, I'm going to sit in here and I'm just going to fall out the window and I'm going to die. He didn't think that. He thought he was going to be okay. This would be a good seat. See what's going on. Fresh air, whatever. See, what happens with people when they get halfway in and they get halfway out? They think they're okay. They think they're safe. They think nothing's going to happen to me. I can be a half-hearted Christian. I can be half in the church and half in the world, and everything will be all right. And like old Eutychus, he thought it was going to be all right, but it wasn't all right. And you start watching things you shouldn't watch and going places you shouldn't go and hanging out with people you shouldn't and doing things you shouldn't do and think, you know what, I'm strong enough. I won't fall. And the Bible says that it was around midnight that he fell. You know, midnight's a critical time in the Bible. You could do just a Bible study on midnight, what happened at midnight. It was midnight when the death angel passed through Egypt. It was midnight when the cry was made that woke the sleeping virgins. There was midnight that Paul and Silas sang and praised God. And it was at midnight that Eutychus fell to his death. The ironic, maybe little twist of the way it all works out is midnight is kind of the halfway point. You know, like people that are half in and half out. Midnight is decision time. It's where we can go either way. And, you know, I tell you, the window seat's dangerous when we become comfortable in that seat. And what happens is, see, when we start becoming comfortable with the world, we can fall asleep. And that's the danger. And I was talking to our folks in Sunday school this morning, and I said, you know, listen, there's nothing in here for most of us. There's nothing I'm going to tell you that's right or wrong. You know what's right and what's wrong. You don't need me to say, all right, this is wrong, that's right, this is wrong, that's right. You know what's right. The problem, it comes in our heads when we have to make a decision on doing what's right and not doing what's wrong. But what happens is we get so comfortable with where we're at in our life, our Christian life, and then we get so comfortable flirting with the world that we don't get convicted about that any longer. There's a danger there. I use an illustration in our Sunday school class. So I'll give it to you guys that weren't in there, but when I grew up, we had a boat, and we'd go fishing on the bay, and we would drift out to sea from the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. And when you're really close to the tunnel, you'd notice how fast the boat was drifting away. But once you got about a quarter of a mile to a half a mile away from the bridge, you really couldn't tell how fast you were leaving the bridge. You know, you'd look up, and in 5 minutes, it might not look much different. In 10 minutes, but boy, after a while, a half hour or so, it started getting, you were losing ground fast. A lot of Christians have gotten that way with God and with spiritual things. Listen, every church, I've said this, I can preach it anywhere. I'm not picking on just you. I'll preach it. I wrote down on this a good revival message. I preach it somewhere else maybe one day. But there's folks right here, listen, you used to be more faithful than you are. You used to do things for God. You used to serve in some capacity in the church, in churches, sang, taught, were faithful on Sunday night, Sunday morning, those things. You drifted away. And you think it's okay. Well, it's okay. I'm still coming on Sunday morning preacher. At least I'm doing that now. Now. But if you drift one more notch, you won't be doing that. See, what's happened is, I'm okay. Well, let me ask you this. Are you closer to God now or when you were serving God? When were you closer to God? When were you happier? Let me ask you that. If you want to really be selfish about it. When were you happiest? Listen, man, you've drifted away little by little. You're comfortable and you think it's okay. And Eutychus thought he was okay too, but he fell out to his death. I like that fact that it said Paul went down there and revived him. Now, that's a revival right there, buddy. Because that was an apostle. Now, let me tell you something. You fall out of a window seat now and die, I got news for you. We don't have an apostle. We don't have any apostles today. As Charles Spurgeon said that. He said, remember, if we go to sleep during the sermon and die, there are no apostles to restore us. Listen. It's Paul, the man of God, fell on him with the word. You know, and I'll picture that as the word of God. And that's a great revival point right there. Brought him back to life. You know, Eutychus, his name means fortunate. He was fortunate. He was fortunate, number one, and like I say, I'm just speculating on a lot of the window seat illustrations. And I don't know what his situation was. Number one, he was there in the service. I'll give him that. And he was fortunate that he was. And he was fortunate that there was an apostle there that brought him back to life. He was fortunate in those aspects. And I'm going to say this, we're all here. And we're fortunate that we still have a church and we still have the Word of God and that the day of grace has not ceased. That we're fortunate that there's another opportunity for us to repent of whatever it is we need to repent of. And we're fortunate that if we're here and we've never trusted the Lord, that there's still another day, that the gospel's still being preached, the same Bible, and we still have churches and God's still in the saving business. You know, we're fortunate that we can call on His name and ask for forgiveness of our sins and be saved and have a confidence to know that we have eternal life. And then we're fortunate for those of us that have already done that, that we have a day today that we can quit taking that for granted. That we can quit taking our salvation and our church and the Word of God and Jesus Christ for granted. And then we can get back and get out of the window seat and quit looking out the window at what's going on in the world and start looking at what's going on that has to do with the things of God. We can do that today. Amen? Let's all stand with our heads bowed.